Aloha.
Well, first of all, I need to be the one in the room that defends Hawk.
He looks like an Asian Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah.
Break from regular steam and I switch to you.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 354 of the program. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for being a regular listener. Thank you for subscribing to our premium content on our Red Circle page. If you do not, just click the show notes in your podcast app right now and you could subscribe there. It's $5 a month or $50 a year. You get a little break there. If you would like to reach out, a lot of people did, you know, I put this out on Twitter and you think that everybody that listens is on Twitter, but they're not. So there's going to be people that are going to want to weigh in on this because it is a moment right now. It is a cultural phenomenon, much like the Tiger King. Of course, we're talking about Cobra Kai. So if you would like to reach out, you can do so via the voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. And you can also send us an email mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com. I am joined now, as I am every week, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
Hey, looking forward to this show. I suffered for our art by binging this entire series.
It got to be a slog. It made me kind of wish I had watched it.
It was a lot.
I had watched it in segments because I was like, I kind of was into the first season and then I'm like, oh, I'll be able to knock this out in a weekend. And I really ran it down to the wire last night.
I was struggling towards the end.
Yeah, it was tough. We are also joined by friend of the show, co-host of the Bachelor Lifestyle Podcast, well known to all of the listeners. Of course, I'm talking about Mr. Jason Stewart. Jason, what's up?
Hello, everybody.
Jason, now, yes.
Brian is right. This is exactly like the Tiger King. If Tiger King was a fictional reset of a very popular 80s movie.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. Jason, who once pulled the ripcord while co-hosting for a Tinder sleigh, has already asked me what time this is going to be wrapping up. Jason, do you have poker later tonight or plans?
Is that hard out?
Yeah, plans with your lovely girlfriend, Christina.
Softball? Is softball in play these days?
No, we can't be doing softball during COVID. You'd have to spray the ball after every pitch. Jason, what are your plans that have you having a hard out tonight at 8 o'clock?
Yeah, late dinner with the girlfriend.
Really? Everything's closed.
Okay, that doesn't prevent me from going Postmates.
Yeah, okay, I got you. All right, that's Jason Stewart. Everybody's favorite Jason Stewart. We are also joined now. I mean, this guy's done a lot in his career. Everyone knows him as the world's foremost bachelor expert on the internet. He has made a cottage industry about knowing everything that's happening before it happens on The Bachelor. A lot of people know him as Stevie and Ellen from LMU, the guy that once turned down an offer of oral sex in order to have a plate of chicken wings. He's probably best known at this point, though, as the Baller Lifestyle's Karate Kid correspondent. Anytime something Karate Kid happens, Stevie and LMU is like, hey, we got to do this. Let's do this on your show. He's been bugging us since season one came out.
Yeah, I remember season one. Sorry to cut off your intro. Yeah. Season one, he did one of those movie theater things for the premiere. Was it Fathom Events?
COVID's got me worried for Fathom Events. I don't think we're going to – because Fathom Events weren't very well attended in the first place.
Movie theater?
Yeah, no, never. That's never going to happen. Stevie, Reality Steve, Reality, how are you, my friend? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good. I totally forgot about that Fathom event, but as Ed and Brian went right up to the wire with this, I was the complete opposite in that when this was released at 2 a.m. Central Time on January 1st, season three of Cobra Kai, I watched it from 2 a.m. straight through to 7:30 a.m., took about a four-hour nap, and was up right before the Georgia Cincinnati kickoff, whatever bowl game that was. I was like, I'm going to start it. And I knew that episode four was our first nostalgia moment. And then when that got turned into episode five, I was like, okay, I'm sticking through this one. And then I was going to do like, all right, I'll power nap and, you know, wake up around eight and finish the last five. I'm a true Cobra Kai aficionado to where I just went 10 episodes straight through and I finished the season. And now I have to wait another year to watch the next season, assuming.
Yeah, season four. Okay. So, yes.
Before we start on Cobra Kai,
yeah.
I just want to take a selfish angle and talk about how this week's terrorist attack affected me directly.
Okay. Oh, no. All right.
Political take.
So, I mean, that's the thing. If somebody thinks talking bad about Trump is politics at this point, I mean, we're too far past that. But anyway, I had a column ready to go at a major publication, which would have given me the biggest exposure I possibly could have had.
Oh, no.
And it was about working in Trump to previous presidents and how he really behind all the bluster, there really wasn't that much that was different from previous presidents. And I had it documented, and I had been working with an editor, and it was going to be like my big break in terms of exposure. And then he helped start some sort of insurrection, and it's like, that's kind of not like other presidents before. So we're going to have to scrap that. So like, I was about to get a ton of exposure, and now I got zero.
Can it be reworked?
I mean, it's going to have to be reworked like in some completely different way, but it's, you know, I had good points. It was a good column. I was feeling proud that I actually got editors working on it. Yeah. It was going to be good. And then they're like, you know what? Our focus is really more on the second impeachment and, you know, people beating a cop to death with a flag and, you know, that kind of stuff. So my whole column was ruined by that fuckface.
Brutal. Well, you're welcome to run it on the ballerlifestyle.com. Of course, anybody else want to open with a personal tragedy?
I've got an Insurrection Wednesday story.
Okay.
So my deal was every once in a while, a reality television show will reach out to me and ask me, will you live tweet one of our shows? In return, we will pay you.
Oh, unbelievable.
So what a gig. I was set to live tweet The Masked Dancer last Wednesday.
Wow. Trump might have done you a favor.
Yeah.
And then around 5 o'clock, I'm like, is this still happening? I go, I don't feel comfortable tweeting about weirdos in costumes dancing around a stage being judged by Brian Austin Green, Ashley Tisdale, Ken Jeong, and Paula Abdul. I said, is this being pushed back? And she's like, yes, we are going to push this back a week. So tomorrow night, Wednesday night, the January 13th, check out my Twitter account at Reality Steve for my thoughts on The Masked Singer.
Is that the orderly from Doogie House? Yes. It's going to be like that.
I believe Bill Nye I saw on Twitter that Bill Nye was one of the dancers. I imagine he's got very smooth moves. I can't wait to tune in.
Week one was revealed to be Ice-T, and week two was Bill Nye. Wow. Yeah. And I don't know who next week's is, but next week we're going back to the first batch of dancers who were in the first episode. I don't have my notes out, so I don't remember who danced or what their clues were.
But, I can predict.
Can you imagine in 1989, the original gangster is going to be dancing around like a mascot for people on TV to judge? This is insane.
I'm going to get paid to tweet about it. How
amazing.
About that?
That's amazing. That's amazing. I won't be watching, obviously, but I will make one prediction. Ken Jeong will not say anything funny. Put that seal it, mail it to yourself, take it to your bookie. If you can get down on that, that's my free tip of the week.
Ken Jeong has already took that right off the board.
Ken Jeong will not say anything funny. Jason Stewart.
I'm sorry. Yeah. One last thing.
Sure.
When we did our exhaustive year in review, I forgot a great RIP that we never mentioned during the year. One of the great sitcom characters of the 90s, Roy from Wings, the big guy.
RIP.
RIP.
Wait.
He lived a lot longer than I expected after that show.
Wait,
but
I don't think I remember him. I only know Thomas Hayden Church, genius.
He's the dumb guy. Roy was the fat guy who looked like Hardy from Laurel and Hardy.
Right, yes.
He's great.
What else was he in?
I think he was a stage actor.
Right. And is Crystal Bernard still with us? I'm mostly concerned about her.
Yeah, she's doing fine.
Jason Stewart, any personal news you would like to start with?
No, but a few minutes ago, I think Steve had admitted to going to a Fathom event, and Brian made the very kind of off-the-cuff, unresearched comment that the business of Fathom events wasn't doing so hot anyways before the pandemic.
That's right.
And I strongly disagree. I don't know how many times I went to movies where in the middle of previews, I heard people like, I have to rush to book my Fathom event seat now before this movie starts. I need to see that ballet, that right. Russian ballet on a movie theater.
That is one good thing about the pandemic. Well, there's a few good things about the pandemic, but one of them was it put a quick death to Shen Yun.
That's true. I haven't been inundated.
Yes. Shen Yun was about to, I believe it was going to start in April here in Southern California at several locations. And it's, you figure I would know when Shen Yun was going to be kicking off because you see no fewer than 87 billboards, 9 commercials, and several home mailers every week.
And not just chintzy direct mailers, like
it's real.
Fold out, yeah. Like real. I mean, they had a limitless budget.
Yes. It's unbelievable. Okay. Let's talk Karate Kid Part 4, the Cobra Kai series, a refreshing, I would say, twist on the Karate Kid saga. I thought I would start by the people's favorites. Like if you have like a top three of your favorite characters on the show, who your favorites are, who you like on the show. I'll go first. I like Johnny. Okay. Anybody else?
I mean, are we just giving away season 3 right here? Like, how are we doing?
No, this is a spoiler. Okay. So spoilers. We got the spoiler king on the show. We're spoiling shit.
Okay. I would say number one, Johnny. Number two, Allie with an I.
Right.
Number three, Sad Sack Chosen.
Oh, no. Chosen's the worst.
I found it hilarious that he was such a, like, he was ready to murder.
Yeah.
And he's just Sad Sack. I just thought it was funny that he appeared. But no, it would be Allie with an I and what's her name who held up pretty. Was it Yookie, Sookie?
Kimiko. That's not saying much considering that Allie with an I is in about 3 scenes in 3 seasons, and she's in the show for a total of about 8 minutes on the very last episode. Jason Stewart, some of your favorites. Who did you enjoy in your 3 seasons, the 3 seasons of Cobra Kai?
And I want to warn anybody, if you say Hawk, I'm out on the entire show.
No one likes Hawk.
Okay, so I'm definitely going to say Hawk. And I think the writing for his character got increasingly more funny. I don't know if there's a website. I'm sure Steve's read all of them. But Johnny's lines are incredible for 2 reasons. They're funny and they're very inappropriate. Like in a world of diversity, in a world of political correctness, Johnny's lack of appropriate behavior and language is so refreshing. And I guess if I had to pick a third, it would have to be Troy Nichols. She literally is a sociopathic murderer.
Yeah, that is true.
Oh yeah.
Yes. The best thing about Johnny, I mean, Johnny is hilarious. Billy Zabka is a fantastic actor. One of maybe three real actors on this entire show. His character stopped in 1988, and that's just a brilliant arc for him, where he's all
like Ron Burgundy,
right? All his references are from the 1980s. He's literally just like come out of a coma or something and is not aware of the modern world, which I love. Steve, you are the resident expert, Karate Kid expert here on the show. Your top characters on the Cobra Kai series.
I think Johnny has shown himself to be the dominant force in this franchise. Now he's completely taken it over. Gosh, for nostalgia purposes, when we got the Cobra Kai boys back together for their little trip for a day, in season two, I really enjoyed that. I did enjoy the Kumiko and Chosen appearance in season three. So that's like a combo, just the nostalgia factor for me. And then for the third, gosh, I almost want to throw Daniel's wife in there because she can just get it.
Yeah, she's not bad, Daniel's wife.
How about Johnny's ex?
Johnny's ex, very attractive. I believe she used to be like a guest model. She's definitely a model, and I think she might have been like the face of Guess back in the day. Yes. Hold on. We're out to find her. I'm going to find her on IMDb.
While you find her, I'm going to relay to the group my personal favorite Johnny line of all three seasons.
Please do.
It was early on when Hawk first got to Cobra Kai, and Johnny says, "What is that on your face?" It's a hair lip, right?
We call that a cleft palate in modern vernacular.
And Hawk proceeds to say that the doctor says I might be on the spectrum, and Johnny says, "I don't know what that is, but get off of it pronto."
Johnny, I mean, this is like it's weird because he lives in Southern California, and they make it clear he hasn't gone anywhere. And then he goes to like a Mexican restaurant, and he's ordering Palo tacos instead of pollo.
Right.
He doesn't know how to do basic things. It's so weird.
It's great.
Amazing. One of my big problems with the show is tonally, they were kind of all over the place. Sometimes it was winking at the audience. Sometimes it was trying to be earnest. Sometimes it was badly trying to just be straight up funny. I did like it, but it was all over the place.
It would be interesting, and I imagine some nerd's going to do this, to have just a super cut of all three seasons that's just Johnny's scenes. Because you find yourself as you're watching, you're like, okay, you know, Miguel, whatever, whoever's doing what, Hawk, the rest of them, who cares? When's Johnny coming back on the screen? And then Johnny comes on the screen and you're like, all right, he's going to say something funny. He's going to do something stupid. But he's also kind of a badass. He beats people's ass. So he could do that. Like, he's interesting, and he's a real actor. So he's funny, like, not by accident. He's funny because he's trained and he's professional. He's amazing. Let's go ahead and list our top three worst characters from the show. It's pretty much everybody else, but I think you got to start with Daniel LaRusso. Is it LaRusso or LaRusso?
So you still don't know this? Yes. 4 years later,
Daniel LaRusso and his wig and he's grown up to be an even bigger pussy than he was in the original movies. He's a bigger whiner. He's a bigger bitch. His karate sucks.
He's very stiff.
He's his
somehow he's wearing a wig, but his hair is also dyed. He dresses like a bitch. I know they didn't have – so this show started off on YouTube, and you could tell it wasn't a big budget thing. The fucking house they use for Daniel LaRusso's home is so shitty. Anybody – like, it's okay, right? It's just very dated. It's old. Anybody you know that owns a car dealership is going to be the richest guy you've ever met. This guy, he owns several car dealerships in the San Fernando Valley, a very populous area, and he lives in a shitty house. He dresses shitty. He's got a pretty hot wife. I'll give him that. But he sucks. I'll follow him up. He sucks the worst, Daniel, of course.
His wife sucks. She's attractive.
I don't mind her.
But she sucks.
I don't mind her. Hawk. I like.
What are they doing with Hawk?
He kind of got badass for a second, but did you notice that they immediately lightened his fake cleft palate scar? As soon as he got the mohawk, suddenly it wasn't quite as red and blotchy as it was when he was just the nerd Eli. Hawk sucks. I don't know why they fucking forgive him. Fuck Hawk. I can't stand that guy. And then I'll follow it up. He's not on the show much, but Anthony LaRusso.
The cousin?
No, he sucks too. But the son. Actually, I don't mind the cousin. The son.
He's funny.
Yeah, the son is horrible. He's not on there much.
Yeah, the kid who's always on his iPad and like asking for pancakes. Yeah, he's bad.
But he does that weird thing, and this is like AJ Soprano, where he's real chubby the first two seasons that he's barely in, and then he shows up in one scene in season three, and he's like emaciated. It's supposed to be in real time, but of course it's 2 years later than it was in season one. And so he's gone from being, 11 to 14, and he looks like a completely different person. I could have done without him. I don't know what he was doing there in the first place. Fuck Anthony. Fuck all of the LaRussos, including Sam. Fuck Daniel's mom. All of them. Fuck them all. except for Amanda. Amanda LaRusso.
I really liked the first movie in the sense that, even the second one, in that he is a dork, but you're seeing him overcome something. But with this series, you really got to live with him. And this is why he is a dork, because you don't actually want to spend time with dorks.
No.
It's one thing to see him go on a little journey to overcome the bully. It's another thing to like see him as an established adult dork.
Yeah,
tough to swallow.
Give us your bottom three.
Bottom three is Hawk. I mean, the whole concept of who was supposed to be the badass when they had that whole ninja brawl. Every fucking person except for Miguel, everybody except for Miguel was a huge loser in that fight.
Well,
and it's just tough. Like, what, the Cobra Kai? There was something going on. Johnny is clearly a cool guy, and you could see the bullies. Now the bully is a guy with this ridiculous mohawk that he wears this every day of his life for 3 years.
Yeah.
It's enough.
Also, Johnny must have been a hell of a sensei, because they show up, they're nerds, and then like 3 weeks later, they're at the fucking All Valley. They're all black belts by then. The All Valley still a fucking huge event. Like, you thought, oh, 85, it peaked. No, the All Valley is fucking raging. It's still going. Everybody knows about it. The whole high school knows about the All Valley. It's an insane, bizarre world, the All Valley. But these guys get very good at karate very quickly.
Well, I think Hawk getting good and some of the other ones that you're like, how is they get good so quickly? The one that sticks out to me is Dimitri.
Yeah.
That character is just total loser, total dork.
Yeah, he sucks.
Now all of a sudden he's, leading a fight brigade at LaRusso's house at the end of season three.
Yep.
Enough to where he's making Hawk turn good again.
Yeah. Yes. He's
Come on. Dimitri?
Hawk snapped his arm like four weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he's pulling tail. He's pulling tail with the good looking chick.
Yep. Yeah.
Earlier in the season where they're making out, she now likes him because he can do karate.
Yeah, do
you think when these kids all went to college and they're like, oh yeah, my high school, we were all doing karate. And you're like, what? Everybody did karate? Yeah, like every person in the high school did karate. Crazy.
Steve, you hate Dimitri. Who else? Give us your bottom three.
Not a fan of Dimitri. Not a fan. I'm not a huge fan of Hawk. I'm not as down as Hawk as you guys are, but is he up there for me? No. And then anyone else, no one really sticks out as somebody that I'm just like, no, I can't stand them. I was just kind of meh.
Yeah.
You know, kind of sucks.
Asking Steve to like choose his bottom three Cobra Kai characters is like asking
Sophie's choice.
Asking a Mormon dad to pick the bottom three of his 15 kids. Right.
That's an interesting analogy. Jay Stu, your bottom three. You had to have hated some people here.
Well, first of all, I need to be the one in the room that defends Hawk. Obviously, I'm in the minority here. The writing for him, I thought, was incredibly funny. He went from this nobody that was a shell of a person to the opposite. Like, he has zero humility. Like, he took this this 180 as a character, and he just became obnoxious and over the top, which I thought was funny. And everything that they did to make that happen, it was funny. They gave him funny lines to say to be the bully. He was the bully. Now he was the guy that was bullied. Now he's the bully. And they gave him these over-the-top funny lines. I think if you guys look at the three seasons again, I think you will
definitely appreciate
Hawk. No, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll appreciate Hawk. Now, how come nobody has mentioned Robbie in this entire podcast so far? He's definitely bottom three for me, and that I know for a fact that nobody – I don't think anybody who is 4'9", who is as delicate and small as he is, could be a badass karate fighter. I don't really even know what his deal is with Samantha. I'm kind of confused at this point as we go into season four. Just as a person, though, I can't stand him. And by the way, obviously Johnny is the most hated person in this series for us, because we hated him in the movie and he's become a less desirable adult. But I will say this, and this is my analogy. I got really good seats at this Way Bitchin' 80s music fest that Richard Blade put on recently. Mm. And I remember when the psychedelic first came out. And
they do this psychedelic first thing every time.
They were so unattractive. And it was off-putting how unattractive old they were. But when I closed my eyes, I was back in 1983, right? Now, when I saw the previews for this series, I saw Johnny with horrible plastic surgery and that horrible hair piece that he's got.
That's a piece, yeah. I don't think Johnny has plastic surgery.
Oh, yeah. Johnny did something, and I'm like, this is going to be hard to watch.
He looks great. I don't know
if I see this, but they pulled it off in the Johnny character, but the LaRussa character, I just can't get behind. I'm not pulling for him and his gang in the next one. I'm kind of pulling for Cobra Kai next time.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I kind of have to agree.
Although, the whole concept of Kreese, I mean, he's like an elderly bobblehead. I mean, his head is way too big for his body, and he's like a 75-year-old guy teaching karate and like carrying out vengeance with children. Like, there are no cops in the valley apparently, because there are major crimes being committed. Yeah,
there's a lot of assault, and that's something I wanted to get to. Something that Ed brings up, because you know, Kreese shows up at the tail end of season one, beginning of season two, and I'll give it to Marty Cove. He's probably the second best actor on the show. He Allie with an eye, who I barely want to count. Like, her scenes with Johnny, it's like, oh, there's two real actors in this, and they're acting, and it's amazing. It's good. But Marty Cove, also a real fucking actor. He's had a career, but there's something that struck me as odd because Marty Cove shows up and he's, you know, he's presumed dead. He might have gone back and trained SEALs in Afghanistan. He's done PSYOPs places. Like, he's a lifer. But I recall Marty Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese, the character John Kreese, I recall thinking that in Karate Kid Part 1, he was around, I don't know, 53 years old?
Yeah.
He was not a young man when he was the sensei in Karate Kid Part 1. So I got to ask you guys, how fucking old is this guy? Did any of you guys have this thought? Because Johnny's a bad motherfucker, right? Like, he should fuck up Kreese pretty easily, considering what year did Karate Kid come out? 1985. So he's conservatively, Kreese was what, 53 in 1985? Now it's 2020. So he's what's Ed, you're good at math. That's 35 years. Yeah, he'd be 88 years old right now. He's Johnny should
you would pass Ed Asner.
Johnny should easily be able to kick the shit out of an 88-year-old man. And I get that Kreese, he's had the facelift. He's got the wig. He's
looking good. Certainly, but he still looks elderly. Like, he would not be the karate teacher people would choose.
Of course.
Well, in real life, he was born in 46, so he was 39 when the first movie
Unbelievable.
Came.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
So he's 74. He's 74 in
yeah.
real life.
I mean, yeah.
I have another least favorite character flashback scenes aside from the snake fight. Oh, most of the flashback scenes, like him at the sock hop, hard pass on flashbacks.
Yeah. Well, Steve, maybe you give your thoughts on this because you're the resident Karate Kid expert. The whole constant flashing back and meeting up with people from the past, from the earlier movies, playing the clips from earlier movies. Did that work for you? Did you like those tie-ins?
100%. The flashbacks, I understood the Vietnam flashbacks in season 3 because they were trying to establish.
Yeah,
they were trying to establish how he became, why he's so angry, where the Cobra references came from, why he's so intent on killing other human beings other than just, hey, let's win a karate tournament.
He's been in the shit.
Yeah, where his mentality came from. Yeah. So I get that.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, when I look at this, kind of the whole thing, like we've talked about this when we did the other recaps of Karate Kid, like this movie obviously has played a major role in my life. And, you know, the fact that I used to go to that same golf and stuff from the first movie and, you know, it was 15 minutes from where I grew up and right off the 605 and in Norwalk. And I was, when they did the first date with Miguel and Samantha there the first season, I thought that was cool.
It was cute.
And then you got and then we had no idea what to expect. And I guess my thing was, because this thing was such a big deal and Karate Kid is probably top 5 movie of all time for me.
Wow.
I was one of these guys that just never wanted to see a reboot or a remake or a continuation. So my expectations were, I'm going to hate this thing because I don't want it to ruin my memory of the original Karate Kid and its franchise. And it so exceeded my expectations that anytime I did get a, hey, let's bring back Robbie and Tommy and let's have Tommy die and his last scene show him being zipped up in a body bag. Like, that shit to me resonated. Like, I loved that stuff. I loved seeing Kumiko and Chosen in this last one, even though Chosen
looks
like an Asian Gilbert Godfrey.
Yeah,
now.
He does. He does.
It's the saddest guy.
I love the throwback references, so you're always going to get me there. But the show, I just didn't think that this show going in, my expectations were just so low because I didn't want it to be made. I didn't think they'd be able to pull it off. And somehow they have managed to keep me interested. I'm almost not nearly as interested in the new cast. Like, I really don't care about Hawk and Dimitri and Samantha and Robbie. Yeah.
Good point.
And there and Miguel and who wins the title and shit like that. I'm just so much more interested in anytime they talk about Miyagi, anytime they talk about the original movies, anytime Cobra Kai comes back, anytime we get a scene with Ali and an explanation as to, you know, the backstory and bringing her in. Like, that's the shit that interested me. Kind of like when I rewatched all of Saved by the Bell, on NBC Peacock. I was only interested in when they brought back the original cast. I didn't care about these new kids. Like, I didn't give a shit.
I kind of agree with you that so when you're like, oh, they're doing a reboot or sort of a sequel series to the Karate Kid, you're like, how are they going to do that? And then you watch this and you're like, oh, this is the only way they could have done it. This is the only way this works. And they did definitely find the secret sauce to making it work. And like you're saying, the whole Okinawa part, I mean, it looked a lot like the Getty Museum to me and also the LA Zoo. But they were in Okinawa. I did like how they flipped it on you. It took him a long time to get there. But he's like, how's he going to save his business? And then it turns out the little girl he saved from the typhoon was the VP of the fucking car company. And I was like, that was a nice little twist. So I'm kind of with you. Yeah. All like the throwback stuff was really good when I was watching with my chick and Johnny and Allie with an I are on a date and she's like, you know where we should go? And my chick's like, you know where they're going to go, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, they're going to go to a hotel room and get sweaty for old time's sake. And she's like, no, dummy. They're going to fucking golf and stuff. And I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, I didn't think about that. And so, like, all those just, like, little moments.
Yeah, and they played this song. Can't feel it.
Oh, yeah, totally. And Johnny, like, the whole beginning when Johnny and Daniel first reconnect. And Johnny's like, yeah, it was an illegal kick. You know, like, you get back to that where you can see it from Johnny's perspective. Like, Johnny was painted as a fucking asshole, and really, some fucking prick from Jersey on a BMX bike comes in, and he can fucking juggle a soccer ball, and he snatches up your girl, and you're going to be pissed off about it.
I was kind of, I don't know, I like I said, I was totally like, where are they going with this, or where are they going to go with this at the very beginning, and then I was like, oh, okay. They're making it. They're actually doing this in like real time. 30 years later, Johnny still has not been able to get over the fact that he lost. And then he becomes the more sympathetic figure.
Absolutely.
And Daniel LaRusso becomes like, wow, he's kind of a prick. Yeah. And Johnny's actually kind of a good guy and kind of funny in all this. But yeah, I was all in. The thing that actually surprised me about this is the fact that it's shot in Atlanta. Like, I was really surprised that this series is everything is shot in Atlanta. And if you go back to that Miyagi house, that's definitely not the Miyagi house from the original, especially when you look in the backyard. The backyard was way bigger in the original movies. But
interesting. I was wondering because they're supposed to be in Panorama City and they're like going down dirt roads and shit. And I'm like, the valley's pretty fucking paved as far as I've seen.
Yeah, this is Atlanta where they shoot this.
Is it because California is making it too expensive to make shit out there?
Must be because this was. I mean, it wasn't even a COVID thing because this was this filming started in 2017. The first season aired in 2018, so I think it was just for whatever, maybe money purposes or Atlanta. I know a lot of shit is shot in Atlanta. Yeah. Hunger Games was shot there, and I don't know. I was just surprised because for something so iconic like Miyagi's house, they did as good a job as they could to recreate Miyagi's house, but it definitely isn't the same house. You could tell.
No, that leads me to another thing. Daniel, he's got all this money, right? He's well to do. He owns several car dealerships and LaRusso Luxury Auto. he cleans out a side room at his house, a converted garage, whatever it is, and he makes it into like a karate studio. Then he decides, I'm going to, you know, it's time to share Miyagi-Do karate, which is some bitch-ass karate, let's be honest. Yeah, Cobra no Kai is way fucking cooler. And the training is, you show up and he's like, hey, I got some fucking chores for you to do. Just like Miyagi. Like, that might have flown in 1985, but these kids have phones now. They're going to find something. They're going to find out about Cobra Kai. They're not fucking sanding your deck all day.
He had them working at the dealership, too.
Right. But then he's like, I'm going to give away free karate. It's a selfless thing. And he sets up the dojo in Miyagi's backyard. There's a fucking river running through the middle. It's not flat. It's grassy. It's hilly. I mean, you're doing karate. You're supposed to be on a flat surface. You're practicing jumping kicks.
Forgot about the 12 scenes where they're practicing kicking on that little floating island.
Yes, they do. I get it. Maybe,
I mean, enough with that thing.
Maybe you go there for the island lesson to learn balance. I get that. Just like Daniel learned on the bow of the boat when Miyagi was fishing. Everybody remembers that. But as far as the day-to-day studio, why not do it in that beautiful dojo that you've built in your home and not Miyagi's shitty, dangerous backyard? I was concerned that somebody's going to lose a finger when they were trying to write that statue. Jay Stu, your thoughts on the Miyagi dojo, the Daniel-san dojo?
I think that I made the exact same comment as I was watching.
That's right.
That's obviously not a studio. It's great, like minds. Hilly. It's not. There's not level. There's a lot of things to trip on. Whatever. I will say that they probably took the important karate stuff inside. Whatever we saw in that inside thing where all the memorabilia was. But speaking of studios, Cobra Kai Studio. They obviously. It's 2021, right? We have things called locks on doors.
That's right.
Like, how did everybody just always enter the Cobra Kai studio at any time of the day? Like 2:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock at night. They just walked into the studio. To me, that, you know, you're opening yourself up to thievery at that point.
That's a really good point. That's a good point.
Jason, I'm going to save you a lot of time. You can start just using 2021. You don't have to keep it right. 2000.
Yeah. Oh, he's doing 2021.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, long form.
I like that. I like when you go to like CVS and there's this like 72-year-old guy in the front. And when they ask for his date of birth, he says April 15th, 1954. As if she would be confused about the century that he was born in.
A guy 2 years younger than John Kreese.
Four times.
Let's do an email real quick. Ballers, I saw you were doing a Cobra Kai podcast this week and was compelled to write. I have personally not seen an episode. Okay. Just so this guy's opinion matters not at all. But it has really upset me. I've always been a Coors Banquet guy when I want to drink something cheap and for post lawn mowing. And recently I posted a pic of enjoying some at the cemetery when someone commented, oh, Cobra Kai? No, you kook. Okay, hold on. I'm not buying that you ran into somebody at the cemetery that fucking struck up a conversation with you. This feels a little juiced. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not buying that he hasn't seen an episode.
Right. You nerds that are now drinking Banquet need to stop immediately. We can smell you out if you weren't down with the Banquet before that show. Also, fucked
it. He's drinking it. He's cool.
Also, fuck Daniel. There's no way Liz Shue would have fallen for him in real life. Thanks, John in Huntington Beach, 5 a.m. golfer. I like that detail of the show. Obviously, that's a corporate tie-in where they got some money from Coors. Placement. Yeah, they got some money from Coors. Yeah. But there was another odd corporate tie-in. I don't know if you guys noticed this.
Dell
was there? That's not the one I'm thinking of. All the kids... At the high school, their high school cafeteria is smaller than my living room for some reason.
Karate High?
Right, at All Valley, or at West Valley. they're all drinking Yoo-Hoo, which is, I believe, an East Coast.
I remember drink. Enjoying it.
Quasi chocolate milk.
It's good.
Beverage.
It's carbonated, right? Carbonated chocolate milk.
No. It's, but it's like thin. It's like chocolate. It's like chocolate cum. Supposing it's like thin, jizzy chocolate milk.
Yeah. When I want to break from regular steam, and I switch to you.
Right, but it's not a readily available beverage on the West Coast. Did you guys find that odd, the Yoo-Hoo tie-in, or was I the only one that noticed that?
I didn't notice.
I didn't see that one.
A lot of Yoo-Hoo being drank.
But I do think it's interesting that you referenced the word cum.
Yes.
Because I need to give a shout out to Brian Moylan of Vulture.com. I read one of his recaps of this series, and he does something brilliant here. He talks about every single final episode of the season ends in some massive fight, some emotional, meaningful face-offs between rivalries. And then he calls it sort of like karate bukkake.
Wow.
And think about that. How many times it takes a real, I don't know. It takes a lot of imagination to work the word bukkake into anything.
I don't think we needed it twice here.
I just thought it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Get to Brian Moylan. That's a good one.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And Brian also points out when I think somebody said, I think Danny goes up to Kreese at the end and says, stay away from my dojo and my kids. And Kreese's big comeback was, it's a free country.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking as Moylan points out, free country is something like you say to someone who just spit on the road.
Yeah.
Not stay away from potentially murdering my kids and causing tens of thousands of dollars in damage to my house.
Yes.
It's not a free country to do anything like that.
That's a good point. This show would really have suffered without, and Steve, maybe you could speak to this. I don't really think they could have done it without Marty Cove's participation. Like, he's the perfect villain. He's got the history with Johnny. Questionable as to why Johnny would be so open to allowing him back in his life, as he says many times that John Kreese ruined his life. But, Steve, what are your thoughts? Could this show have even happened? You need Daniel, obviously. I mean, begrudgingly, you got to include him. It sucks. It would have been nice if they killed him early on, but he's there. Johnny, of course, Johnny drives the story. He's the real star of the show. But you need that third piece. You couldn't have done this without John Kreese. What do you think?
Well, I mean, all of season one was without Kreese. He didn't show up until the very last scene.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I'm putting myself back in 2018, rewatching season one right now. And just thinking in my head, when I was watching season one, was I thinking, when are we going to get a Kreese reference? When are we going to get a Kreese? Mm-hmm. Because I remember when he came out of the shadows at the end and he shows up at Cobra Kai because there are no locks on the door. And he showed up after Johnny was, you know, late at night at Cobra Kai after Miguel had won the tournament and he walked through the door. I honestly thought that was Daniel. And when he came out of the shadows and all of a sudden we saw Kreese, like, I was legitimately shocked. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. It looks like we're going to have Kreese for season two. And at the end of season two, they teased the whole Allie Mills friend request on Facebook. So you knew we were going to get Allie at some point in season three. And then obviously at the end of season three, they're teasing a Terry Silver and or Mike Barnes combo to come back for season
four. Karate's bad boy.
Which I'm absolutely just, I can't believe I have to wait a year to have Terry Silver in my life.
Will Snake join?
It's going to be a year.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming they go back in production this month. They say most of the season is written, but I don't know if that means, you know, let's say they film January, February till like April or May. If they're going to come back in late October, like Cobra Kai was supposed to be. And then they said, screw it. We'll just push it till January 1st. Or maybe this is going to be a thing. Like, January 1st every year, we're going to release Cobra Kai.
Let's hope so.
I don't think the writing part takes very long for this show.
That's right. They're short episodes, yes.
I wrote down this line early on when maybe it was season two, when there was still like a little bit of a courtship. Miguel would be coming by Johnny's place, giving him dinner and stuff made by his mom. Miguel's mom brings Johnny tres leches. It means three milks, Johnny. That's better than the milk I used to drink.
Well, yeah. I mean, Johnny does pronounce it pollo polo. So he's, polo. You know, he's
like, how about when it was supposed to be like a couple weeks after the incident at the high school with the broken back or what, broken neck. I'm not sure what. And Johnny turns into Ron Burgundy. He's just staggering around with like a long beard and everybody's like,
yeah.
I mean, it was crazy.
He got rid of that sweet charger that he had. That was a real bummer.
I think Steve would probably agree with this. I think Ed and Brian are kind of caught up in how either believable or kind of like if this was a drama, it could be critiqued in the way it is.
No, don't lump me in with that.
The brilliance of this series is that it doesn't take itself serious.
That's what's good about it.
No matter what happens, right. But no matter what happens, they always go back to something humorous. And most of these things that you guys are referencing are just things that are intentionally written to be over the top or cheesy or an 80s reference. I found those things charming about this.
You liked it too. You guys are ripping it to
shit, and I don't appreciate
that. No, I liked it. I liked all that stuff. I liked that Johnny thought that D. Snyder was a cool. Big act to see. Like, that's really funny. I like that Johnny likes both Iron Eagle and Iron Eagle 2.
Oh, that's amazing. Great line.
There's bad news about Johnny, though. At one point, they're scanning his apartment. He's got a poster on the wall of an eagle and an American flag. He's MAGA.
Yeah.
He's
probably no way. He doesn't know who the president is, dude.
I'm just saying.
I do love.
He doesn't know what Wi-Fi is.
He takes that mid 80s bully stance still. If you use a computer, you're a nerd.
Yeah, he's right. I like when he's trying to
35 years later.
I like when he's trying to get Miguel to walk by dangling the swimsuit issue on a fishing pole, and then he decides, he's like, you know, we got phones now, and he's like, no way, it's better on paper. And then he goes, and then he decides to bring out the big guns, and he's like, I might have to get out my Vanna White, or he goes, I think I still got my Vanna White Playboy.
That's so good, dude. Oh, you know, that's a great one. There's a Stevie from LMU tie in here. Our Steve Carbone here went to Loyola Marymount.
That's right,
what year did you start going there?
What?
91? When did you start at LMU?
I transferred in my sophomore year, so September of 94. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Way after. But anyways, there is a Stevie and LMU tie in here. One of my favorite lines that Johnny says at one point, he tells his kids, the best defense is more offense.
Yeah. It's so good.
I thought, that's Paul Westhead. That's LMU. Yes. That's Hank Gathers.
Yes. Bo Kimble. Yes.
170 to 165. Like, let's go out and run. Absolutely. Hey, that's good.
I'm surprised we've gone this long. How about Azamat from Borat being Kreese's landlord?
I like that. He's much better at English now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked him. He's very Valley. It's very true to the San Fernando Valley, where there is a large, robust Armenian community and very, very many dudes that look just like that guy. One thing I enjoyed, I nearly was brought to tears. The Tommy episodes, where they rally up with Bobby, Tommy, and I don't recall Jimmy from the first Karate Kid.
He was always in the group that was kicking Daniel's ass. He just never got any lines. He wasn't one of the main ones.
How
do you remember what happened to Dutch?
No, what happened to Dutch?
He's in Lompoc.
Yeah, he's in prison.
Yeah. They go, yeah, he's in Lompoc.
Yeah. Which is no surprise. Dutch was a sociopath. Of course he's
now
in prison.
Tommy, yeah. I want to point out, Tommy was almost on the first Karate Kid episode of us.
Right.
Remember, I talked to him.
I thought it was Bobby. I thought it was Sensei Ron Thomas that was coming on.
Oh, yes, yes. That's who it is. Yes. And he was about as – it was like talking to a – it was like us George talking Clooney. To the biggest movie. Yeah, the biggest movie star in the world. So he calls me. So I was trying to line it up that we could get him on or at least record an interview. And so he called me back. And so I set up the recorder like I was going to record the call. And it was all like you could barely hear him. It was a horrible reception. He goes, "Sorry, I'm driving in a convertible. How about we do Tuesday?" And I was like, "Okay." And never heard from him again. And then that was it.
He was pretty good. I liked having them there. I liked that they brought Tommy out, like, you know, just one last hurrah for the guy who was clearly suffering with an illness.
Well, I mean, it was basically, I mean, that was a do not resuscitate. Instead of pulling the cord or whatever, they expedited his death. Now, it was a really cool last 24 hours, but they he undoubtedly would have lived longer if they would not have done that.
And how weird is it for a guy who's dying to have to film a scene where they zip up the body bag on him?
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, he must have
died very soon after.
Right? Yeah, September 2019.
He died like 6 months later after it aired. But he also, I mean, I think the whole point of that whole episode, bringing the Cobra Kai back, and I'm sure as the writers loved throwing nostalgia into this show, the whole point of that episode was to have basically a 35-year-old line that has become so synonymous with this franchise, which is get him a body bag.
That's right.
Was to end the episode of Tommy being zipped up in a body bag.
Unbelievable.
Like, I asked some of my friends at the time that watched it. I go, "Did you get the reference?" And they're like, "Oh shit, no, I didn't." And I told them, I was like, "Tom, they ended the episode with Tommy being zipped up in a body bag." I'm like, "Oh shit, I didn't realize that."
I didn't get it. I cannot believe I didn't realize that. That's beautiful.
The whole point of that episode, I think, was to end it with, we want to bring him back, have him die, and we'll end it with the episode of him being zipped up in a body bag, which is like the most meta scene you could possibly do for this franchise after, you know, 35 years of everybody saying get him a body bag.
That's pretty good.
That was really good.
I will point out Jimmy
doesn't recognize that until now. You guys didn't notice that till now?
Not till you said it.
Oh shit. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think you mentioned Jimmy, it to me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say Jimmy, remember, he was the like douchey rich kid from Head of the Class.
Was he?
That's Alan. Remember, he was like the douche that nobody in the class liked.
Wow, I didn't know that. I liked that whole thing. I liked Bobby sort of being there for Johnny. You know, he's a pastor. He was trying to help him reconnect with his kid. I liked that whole aspect of it. And Sensei Ron Thomas, Bobby from Karate Kid, is a real karate dude. So when he does that, when he sweeps Johnny's leg in front of the congregation, that was like the most real looking karate that they do in the whole show. It was pretty good.
Yeah, and he also drives a convertible.
That's my understanding.
He'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Yeah, he's done pretty well for himself. Let's do a couple more emails. Dear Ed, Brian, et al., how dare you insinuate that Ralph Macchio has a rug? I think his hair looks totally natural. Signed, Adam Duritz. That is from Left in Laguna. Adam Duritz has finally taken that mop head off the top of his head, by the way.
He did.
Seen him at some Warriors games.
Did you just get a signed
email?
I thought you said that those don't exist on this show. I'm the only one who reads those.
Right. Oftentimes it's weird because we're not live streaming.
No, but I'll get oftentimes, an email during the show.
Yeah, you'll get an email during the show. Hey, Brian, I got an email here. Dear Ballers, it is refreshing that the two female characters in Cobra Kai are cherubic AF. I totally would. Drew in L.A. I assume he's talking about Sam. I wouldn't say she's cherubic.
Tori. Tori's got it going. I mean, I don't know if she's 15 in real life or whatever.
No, but
she's
they're got not.
Tori's a psychopath.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Tori, let's go to the ages. Tori was born in 1998, so wow. She's 22.
Oh, yep.
Oh, she's well in play. Yeah, yep. She's got like 2 million Instagram followers.
She's from the Disney World. Wow. And then Samantha's 24. She was born in 96.
Man, you guys are fucking creeps.
Speaking of women, by the way.
Yeah.
Speaking of women, it goes back to another great Johnny line. When that other girl that for some reason she wasn't in season 3, they must have had like a contract dispute. Yeah. Aisha.
Yep.
When she tries to join Cobra Kai for the first time, Johnny is like, "What are you doing here?" And she's like, "I'm trying to join." And he says, "Girls can't join Cobra Kai." That's right. She says, "Why?" And he says, "Same reason there aren't any women in the army. It doesn't make sense."
So good. So I like when he was on the phone and he's like, it's like a prospective student. And he's like, "Yeah, we teach boys." He's like, "Yeah, we teach girls. Gender, what? Are you fucking with me?" he's very of a time, which I like about him. Here's another email. Brian, air quotes, Ed, Twitter follower of mine, Jason Stewart, and Steve. Some questions about Cobra Kai. Has this show done anything but fully reinforce why Daniel is the penultimate bad guy in the movie and now on this show? He treats a clearly down and out Johnny like shit the entire time, interferes with his life, and tries to poach his son from him. What a fucking asshole. He fires people for sport and tries to ruin the lives of everyone around him. He fucks up everything he touches. In season 4, is there any way that Daniel's wife doesn't cuck him with Johnny? Daniel really seems like a total cuck. Also, she's super hot. Sit in the fucking corner and watch, Danny boy.
Oh, man.
Sam, Mary Mauser, age 23, what up, Telly, is hot. But when are the producers going to put her in anything that's not the equivalent of a turtleneck? Also, is there any way she's doing anything other than giving over the pants hand jobs? Poor Robbie and Miguel. Sam's arch enemy, Tori, Peyton List, age 22, what up, Telly, who is way hotter than Sam, is clearly better than Sam in every way. How did she not kill her twice now? Also, what are the chances that in season 4, these two enemies get to know each other more closely? Like in an art film way? Like really get into the scenes and express themselves for the art? Jason understands. Allie with an eye, of course it was Daniel who fucked it up with her. I mean, I'm pretty sure she fucked the USC quarterback like he thought, but Daniel forced her into his arms. Also, why would Allie ever want to see Johnny again? He was essentially a date rapist with significant anger issues. Kreese murdered his commanding officer in Vietnam, but he can't kick Johnny or Daniel's ass? Sure. Johnny, about time he fucked Miguel's mom. Guarantee you that Kreese was laying pipe to all the Cobra Kai moms. Do you think he was smart enough to pull out? Johnny shouldn't be a dad. Was this a white Christmas situation? Miyagi. Dead pedophile who somehow still has a grip on Daniel's shaft beyond the grave. Oh my god, this is so long. Chosen, bitch made. He went harder on those fucking plants than he ever did on Daniel. Season 4 needs Karate's bad boy, Mike Barnes and Terry Silver. That's all I have, since I have to keep it on brand. Fuck Guy Fieri. I don't think that he's done all these nice things for people. Yes, he has. Very cool. He can fuck right off. I really, really, really can't wait for Guy to have his Me Too moment. That is from Dolomite D. Dolomite, I read your email. I'm not fucking reading that PS. Okay, buddy? I love you, though. Thank you.
Dolomite, good email, except maybe you should learn the definition of penultimate. That means second to last.
It's close enough. He was going for it.
You meant ultimate, not penultimate.
Right. Ultimate. One clarification.
I think, by the way, yeah. DoeMID, I think that's his kind of his new branding. He responded to my power rankings, my much anticipated power rankings Steam. Tweet today.
How's, is Steam and, on the come in yeah, in your power and, rankings?
And he said in the tweet that I'm his follower as opposed to him being a follower of mine. So I think that's kind of his new thing. That's going to be his deal.
Oh, so you do not follow? You're too good to follow DoeMID? Is that what you're saying?
No. Oh, I always have. Yeah, no, it's accurate. I follow him. Oh, and okay. He follows me.
Oh, that's nice. One clarification that I have. Allie fucked the UCLA quarterback. Yes, USC yeah. QBs are way more into Tommy Trojan, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It would have been Troy Aikman. No, it wouldn't have been Troy. It was still at Oklahoma.
88 was Rodney Pete and Troy Aikman in LA. Yeah, so, yeah, that would have been Aikman.
Yeah, that's right. It's a big time.
Well, this movie was 85, so was that Neuheisel? Was it Neuheisel in 85?
No, I think he's like 83.
No, it was 84. Wait, oh, so when Karate Kid 2 was, yeah.
Oh, wait, so the movie.
Might have been early Aikman.
Yeah, yeah. Did any of you guys notice that Aisha's mom, she was there for one scene, it was Tootie, Kim Fields?
No.
Oh, good for Tootie. I've always liked her.
Tootie's like a name
yeah.
person. Like she was in one scene. She had one line the whole show.
That's odd.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Did you guys, did any of you, you know, I wasn't really put off by much in this series, but I was put off by this guy, Kyler, who's a, you know, he was a villain in season one.
The Asian
and he
guy.
Took season two off yeah. and now he's a villain again. Kyler,
it's not a name.
The is what?
Yeah, that's, Kyler is not a real name. No one should be named.
Oh,
that.
Okay, go I'm
on.
Sorry. Yeah. So Kyler, in the Karate Bukkake at the end of season three, Kyler takes on a Miguel who just got past being in a coma. And just coming back from neck surgery and everything else, and he's obviously half the karate fighter he was. And Kyler doesn't give a shit.
Yep.
He's going 100% at this kid. He wants to kill him.
Yeah,
I would say that to me kind of went over the line. I mean, I don't do well with the paraplegic badgering, bullying, or anything like that. Right. Neck injuries are nothing to laugh at. Yep. And Kyler was not letting up.
Yeah, it's well,
there was a ton of attempted murder. I
was going to say there was a lot of near death experiences, not the least of was when Miguel had his back broken.
Well, how about Tori taking out the brass knucks?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The spike.
Yeah. Season two finale. Like she literally put on brass knuckles to wipe her face with a pair of brass yes. knuckles.
Like, how is
maybe yeah. Steve knows this because Steve is so well read with this. What I don't like at the end of the series, I turn to my girlfriend. And I'm like, I really don't know what Tori's issue is. Like, what is her issue with Samantha? Exactly.
Why is she so mad?
Yeah, I've never understood it. I don't know. I don't know why she's so upset.
She's a psychopath. She's
off. Tried to give us a little bit of her backstory. Her family life sucks. Like, great. But why are you just jealous that Samantha has the dad who runs the dealership and you're, you know, the maintenance guy is trying to get in your pants at your apartment complex and you have to like, I didn't get it. It just sounds like, oh, she's just maybe jealous of Samantha and everything that Samantha has when she lives in a shitty apartment complex and has to pay the rent for her own parents or whatever it is she's doing.
Yeah. She was making money at the roller rink. I did like that. They had the 80s night at the roller rink and Robbie went as Blaine from Pretty in Pink. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's a little too on the nose. This is obviously guys that grew up in the 80s that wrote the show. I mean, it worked for us, and I get that that's why they did it. But
this show is red meat for people nostalgic for the 80s.
Yeah, exactly. Like
which is exactly why I'm obsessed.
Not to mention the fact that they cast Anthony Michael Hall as some badass. I mean, some 80s, wasn't he a part of the Brat Pack or whatever? He was in Pretty in Pink. They cast him as his commander in Vietnam.
That was Anthony Michael Hall?
No.
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
It absolutely was.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, it wasn't.
Who do you guys think it was?
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm looking at it right now. He wasn't in it.
Get the fuck out of here.
Who was that actor?
Terry Serpico, Captain Turner.
Looks a lot like Anthony Michael Hall.
I kind of see it. He definitely
isn't. Oh, shit.
Isn't.
How about this? Esquire.com. Is Anthony Michael Hall in Cobra Kai? If not, who does John Kreese kill at the end?
Right.
I'm not the only guy on the internet who thinks this. Thank you.
You're reading a question and answer at Men's Health.
but also you're wrong. You're not the only person that's wrong about it.
We haven't talked about one of the great scenes. When they're at the county fair and they're advertising their business, and Miyagi-Do was the super lame presentation, everybody's bored, and then Cobra Kai just goes out and starts kicking each other's asses to 80s music.
It's pretty badass.
Here's another casting thing that I don't know if you're aware of. Do you know that the kid at the sock hop who played a young John Kreese is his son in real life?
I just clicked on that. Jesse Cove,
yeah.
Very interesting. Did it strike anybody as odd that in the Vietnam scenes that that John Kreese's like platoon buddy had a ponytail?
Yeah, they tried. There were three fake outs in season three.
Yeah.
When Miguel was in the hospital, they made you think that Ali was his doctor when they did a shot from a blonde woman from behind.
Right.
Because that was the rumor going around before season three. They made you think that Silver was the guy with the slick back hair when it was his other buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they made you think there was one other reference that I'm blanking on. But yeah, there were three fake outs and those were two of them. And I can't remember what.
Yes. Was. They also had period incorrect camouflage. I'll just say that.
Okay.
They didn't get Captain Dale Dye to consult, obviously.
here's a question that I have.
Okay.
I think, and this stems from season three. Like, I totally get where they went. I mean, we knew at the end of season two that Allie was showing up in season three. They wouldn't have teased that and then not delivered on, holy shit, Allie Facebook messaged Johnny. There's no way they weren't going to deliver on that. We just didn't know how.
I was surprised by Chosen in season three.
Stunned.
They were fighting till the death.
Yes.
And you would think, at the very least, he wouldn't be, you know, in that world, and then to see Sad Sack Chosen.
Unbelievable. Just stunning. Amazing. Stunning.
Here's my thing with the Allie and Johnny storyline of, I mean, I thought it was cute, like, oh, they went to Dolphin stuff, just like Allie and Daniel had in the movie. My thing was, in the first movie, the only thing we know between Johnny and Allie is contention between them.
That's true.
And this franchise, the Cobra Kai franchise, has made it seem like, oh my God, Johnny misses Allie and she was his first love. The problem is us as an audience never got a Johnny and Allie backstory of, wow, these two really are meant for each other. And that's where I kind of was like, wait a second. I get it now. It's a nostalgia thing. She's single. She's now separated from her doctor husband. She's back in town for Christmas break. She hits up Johnny. It's just weird to me that they made it seem like Johnny and Allie had this love story in 1985 that they're now revisiting, when every single scene they shot together in 1985 was contentious. She either was punching him because he tried to make out with her at the club, or they're fighting over a fucking boombox, or, you know, they're fighting over a soccer match. Like, they never had a love story. They tried to sell us she was the one that got away for Johnny, and I didn't really get that.
I have a feeling that the implication is that they were each other's first.
Yeah.
They were each other's first.
He took the papers.
I think she makes a reference to the fact that, you know, back then everything was a big deal with teenagers, everything else, and perspective has made me think about the good times. I think they reference that, but it was kind of a non sequitur. I just think that I wasn't too into the whole Alley thing. I wasn't excited for it. I'm a huge Elizabeth Shue fan from the '80s. From the '80s.
Oh yeah.
Cocktail. And did anybody notice the cool updated version of Cruel Summer?
Yes.
During the golf and
stuff? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, yeah. Yeah. It was nice.
Slowed down. Yeah. It's like a slowed down acoustic version of it. Very sultry.
Great song. By the way.
Yeah. I think there was a few covers throughout the show because they probably didn't have the budget to license the actual songs.
Right.
Although I did like when they were making Johnny's the Cobra Kai website, and he's like, "Hey, throw some Thunderstruck on that." And they're like, "We don't think we can get the rights." He's like, "What are you talking about? I got the cassette in my car." amazing. I think, to Steve's point, I think that in Karate Kid Part 1, we're just seeing the end of Allie with an I and Johnny's relationship. Yeah. And that's, you know, a lot of times these things get bad at the end, but then when you're 30 years out from it, I mean, present company excluded, when you're 30 years out from it, people get over the you know, they forget the bad stuff and they remember the good stuff. And I think that's where Johnny and Allie with an I were.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was.
Is there any hope that we see Allie with an I continue, or was this a one-shot deal, Steve?
It's got to be a one-off, right?
Yeah.
See, that was one of my questions I had written down in my notes here for this podcast. I actually did write down some notes. Is this now going to be a Johnny interested in Carmen versus Allie thing, or Allie pushed him towards Carmen and we got our closure with Johnny and Allie? I didn't know. I believe it or not, this show has me a little bit stumped on, does this mean the end of her?
I think they'd love to have her.
Yeah.
By the way, Johnny's an asshole for 2.5 seasons. Not an asshole. He's just an unabashed guy who doesn't really believe in anything politically correct, right? Why all of a sudden, I mean, he only went on like one date and slept with the mother of Miguel once. Like,
that's
why
what I'm saying.
He could not have taken Allie to a hotel. I mean,
of course.
That was a weird maneuver for a guy who was like, you know, so cool and unabashed about anything for the entire series. Why did he make that moral judgment?
Allie was clearly DTF. Johnny was under no, he was not locked down at all. He'd had one hookup with Miguel's mom. He's free to do whatever he wants. He could slay Allie for old time's sake and then keep it going with Miguel's mom. No questions asked. No problemo. I thought that was really weird. I thought it was out of character for Johnny.
It was.
Yeah.
I totally see it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of out of left field. I didn't really understand why he wouldn't have. I mean, look, they were about to kiss on the bench, and then Allie's phone rang. Oh, I got to deal with the kids. And it's just like, he probably should have just chucked the phone in the water and said, no, we're going to do this for the first time in 35 years. But here's another thought I had at the end of season 3, which was the end of season 1. They teased Kreese and then he became major player in the show. End of season 2, they tease Allie. She obviously shows up in season 3. Season 3, the ending clearly teases that Marty Cove is looking at a picture of his boy that he saved back in Nam, which was Terry Silver, which I believe we already got that favor in Karate Kid Part 3. That was the whole point of Terry Silver appearing in Karate Kid Part 3 was, I'm here to, you know, I owe you from Nam. Okay, so they're going to revisit that in season 4. Have any of you guys paid attention during the pandemic to what Josh Gad has done on his YouTube channel, guy who plays Frozen?
I've seen some of them.
So I actively avoid all Josh Gad interactions. So I don't. I guess you can explain this to me, but I'll just let you know. I will never go check it out myself.
Okay, so what he's doing is actually really cool. He's taking basically all of our favorite movies from the '80s, and he's reuniting. And he's reuniting the casts on a Zoom call. Well, Karate Kid, he's done, you know, he's done Goonies. He did Back to the Future, and he's got them all. He brings every major player back. He usually brings back one writer or producer, or director, or whatever. He did this for Karate Kid. So he started with the first movie, and then he went into the second movie, and Kumiko and Chosen come on, and then third movie, and they bring in Terry Silver and Mike Barnes, and they bring in Vidal, the guy that taught karate on set, and then they bring in the new cast. So in that show, this is the first time I've seen Terry Silver probably since Karate Kid 3 came out, and Terry Silver, who is the same age as Ralph Macchio in real life, Terry Silver has a white goatee and white hair. Like, if he's appearing in season four, he's got to go with the Daniel LaRusso dye job, because he's not going to be convincing. But that was the interesting part. I hadn't seen the guy since Karate Kid 3, and
Chosen was sad.
Yeah.
Well, and here's my thing about the end of Karate Kid or Cobra Kai season 3 is, after, we got to assume that a combination of Terry Silver and or Mike Barnes is definitely somehow going to be a part of season 4. There's no doubt.
Yeah, of course.
After that, though, and we already know the plot line for season 4 is Cobra Kai led by Kreese versus whatever Johnny and Daniel are calling their Cobra people, or their karate dojo, are going to meet at the All Valley. It's already been established what the plot is for 4. Does this show go on after 4?
No.
Because I think it ends at 4, because after that, I think you're just reaching. I think you're, and the other big thing was, after Silver and Barnes, who could you possibly pull in season 5
as a
nostalgia factor? And I can't think of one person.
I can tell you. No, I have it right now. I'm going to tell you.
Who?
Will Smith has the rights to this. He's the executive producer. He's got the rights to the Karate Kid.
But
you bring on, hold on. You bring on Jaden Smith and
Jackie Chan
as his kung fu, because he was his kung fu mentor in China and the new Karate Kid. And then all the Cobra Kai and Miyagi guys take turns kicking the living shit out of Jaden Smith till he's impaired, till he's disabled.
I just assumed because the next Karate Kid was just a reboot of the first movie. I thought this is based on the first three movies, and they're not going to include the Hilary Swank part of it. I just can't think of one. They brought out all the main characters. You can't bring anybody back from 2 because Sato's dead.
Robin Lively?
He is dead. Yeah. Robin Lively, who was on the Zoom call on the reunited episode, Josh Gad. She was on it. So you could bring her. You could bring Barnes. You could bring Silver. After that, I think they're done with nostalgia factor and bringing anybody back that anybody would go, wow, great to see them again outside of Dutch. He's the biggest name remaining that hasn't appeared.
We're forgetting one very, very big character.
I know who you're going to say. Snake and Dennis, right?
No, they're coming back. They're going to be with Terry Silver for sure. Snake and Dennis are there.
Dennis was on the Zoom call by the way.
Yeah, they're going to be the muscle. They need the work. I'm talking about Freddy Fernandez, the neighbor.
Oh, yeah, the worst friend in the world.
They got to bring him back. Daniel owes him. Daniel should hire him to wash the cars and like tend the dojo, because Freddie really fucked over Daniel
at the end of Back to the Future. Yes.
So there's an idea.
I hold on. Let me pull this up real quick.
Okay.
By any chance, do you know, they talked about this in the Zoom call and it was something from the Karate Kid that I did not even pick up on. When Daniel meets Freddie Fernandez for the first time at the apartment complex, do you know what the shirt is that Freddy Fernandez has on? The t-shirt that he's wearing?
Is it a Hawaiian punch?
No. It's two pigs. They're pink.
Making bacon.
Making bacon. Yeah. And a pig is banging another pig from behind.
Yeah.
And it says making bacon.
It's a kid's movie.
Yeah. This is a Karate Kid, but unless you – I didn't know this until 2 weeks ago when I watched the reunited Karate Kid cast.
That is how pigs mate, though, by the way. They just it would only be from behind.
You remember? I'm guessing
they can't.
Yeah. Well, when you brought it up, when you started to describe it, I remembered it.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing they can't bring back the old lady who was sitting by the empty pool.
I'm sure she's kicked.
Was anybody else stunned to see Daniel LaRusso's mother still with us?
No, because she was in Sopranos, I believe, right?
Mad Men. She was the secretary who died in Mad Men.
Right.
Yeah, she was in
that. Forgot about that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I think this is a good place to wrap it up, unless anybody has anything else to add. Ed Daly?
No, we're good.
Jason Stewart?
One thing I will say that worries me is if Johnny's joining forces with Danielson, we are going to be deprived of Johnny-only scenes. We're going to have a lot of scenes with them together.
I know. That's problematic.
I know that Johnny can be funny to play off of, but I just need less Danielson.
Well, that episode where they went to the bar and they're driving around, like when they kind of did the buddy cop thing, it wasn't that bad. Yeah, it's good. I like anything with Johnny is pretty good. Even if Daniel's there, he detracts from Johnny a little.
I just like a lot more Johnny on his own, navigating the world like Ron Burgundy.
He's great.
And of course, Johnny made an 80s Tango and Cash reference.
He's like, they're narcotics cops.
What a great character.
The writing for Johnny is fantastic. He's such a great character. I'm stoked to see him work. He's an awesome dude. Jason Stewart, did you receive any emails during the show? Have you been perusing your DoorDash app during the show? What are you ordering for dinner?
Good question. I think we're doing some pizza and some hot wings.
Oh, nice.
Check this out. The last thing I'm going to say here is, we cannot end this podcast without mentioning the fact that Stevie Carbone ordered and received an Eagle Fang Karate t-shirt.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. How did I,
what?
You want to know something even better?
Yeah.
When I ordered the Eagle Fang t-shirt, which I already received, I ordered the red one.
Yeah.
I said, I ordered a second one because I wanted a black one too.
Wow.
You're flush with Eagle Fang shirts.
Multiple. Do you anything to add on top of that, Steve? Always stoked you can have here. You are the official Karate Kid and, for that matter, Back to the Future correspondent of the baller lifestyle world. Anything to add on Cobra Kai?
No, I'm just impressed with the exact heart out at 8 o'clock so Stu could get dinner.
Absolutely. That's how we do it. Okay. Excellent job. I really appreciate you guys all joining us. Thank you very much for Ed Daly, for special guests Jason Stewart and reality Steve Carbone. My name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 354 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daly and the man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. The Nutters, my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.